Well, the plan was to preach on Christian children and Christian parents, but the length of my manuscript started to trend over an hour, and that would have been a great disservice to the children and the parents. So, it's children only this morning, and we'll move forward with that. The title of the sermon this morning is How Christian Children Can Please Christ. How Christian Children Can Please Christ. And we're going to look at Colossians 3, verse 20. So, kids, if you have your Bibles, make sure you bring them. If you have your Bibles, open up to Colossians. It's pretty close towards the end of your Bible. Maybe you know the Bible memory song, and you can recite it in your head and eventually find Colossians. Start in Matthew. Don't start in the Old Testament. It'll take you too long. But go from Matthew, go through the epistles, and it's right in the middle of them. It's Colossians. We're going to be in chapter 3. We're going to read verse 20, and that's what we'll look at this morning together. Colossians 3, verse 20. God's word says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." There is a significance of children, specifically that they obey their parents, which we cannot underestimate. If you look at the end of Romans chapter 1, disobedient children are a sign of cultural chaos. The downward spiral of culture towards the end of that list is disobedient children. Starting in verse 30 or 29, it says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful." That's quite a list. We look at all of those things and we think, wow, those are some pretty bad things. And lo and behold, disobedient to parents makes the list. Right in the middle. And so logically connected to this, we also see in 2 Timothy 3 that the last days or the end of times are characterized in the same way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says this, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of God, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." Right again, this really big list of sins, really grievous sins. What do we find right in the middle? Disobedient to parents. This characteristic is actually so important that it's even the qualification of an elder. Titus 1:6 says, "Namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believed, not accused of dissipation or rebellion." If a man has children who are accused of wild living, being out of control, with disregard to authority, then these children are in his household. This disqualifies a man from eldership. Children, obey your parents is a very, very important command. But our culture does not share this message, not in any way, shape, or form. Not any movie. That's an over-exaggeration. Broad brush, bigger than I'm willing to paint. Many movies, the child hero is the one who not only bends the rules, but breaks them and then corrects their parents because their parents are too strict and just don't understand. Kids, if you watch these movies all the time and you don't pay attention, it's just a matter of time till you imitate these movies. Parents, if you let your kids watch these movies all the time without correcting it, it's just a matter of time till the instruction of the world becomes the instruction in your household, and that becomes their example and their authority. As I like to do, I Googled it, should children obey your parents? I think the most shocking thing that I found, I wasn't surprised that the answer was, in most cases, no. That wasn't surprising. What I was surprised by, that in most cases that question is asked on blogs, it's, should children obey their parents, and should parents obey their children? That almost always followed. But when people didn't ask the second question, which we won't even touch, I asked my daughter that this morning, and she said, no. It's thankful. Whew, we're winning. When the first question was asked, should children obey their parents, almost always the answer was no, and there was a little qualification. Only when it makes sense, or when it's a safety issue. And I just can't imagine how that works with a three-year-old. Because they have the really good ability to discern when the parent's command makes sense, don't they? Right? Oh yeah, this is really my safety. This is when I should obey. No, it makes no sense. It's absolute madness. Really, it's the definition of insanity. But it's because we're in the midst of cultural decay in North America, in the Western world. We should be surprised no little, and we should expect no less. But all of these things, they come together so that we look at this morning and we realize, both children and parents, how important the relationship is between Christian parents and Christian children. Because we will either display the lordship of Jesus Christ or the rebellion of the world. There's only two categories. Kids, you will either live in a way that shows that Jesus is your king, or you will show that Jesus is your enemy. There's only two ways to live. And this morning, we're going to look at that command, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, and we're going to consider that. Notice last week, for adults who were in here, we have another pairing. We're not going to look at the next pairing until next week, but we have another pairing. We had husbands and wives, and now we have children, and specifically listed, fathers. In both cases, the person under authority spoken to first, the person in authority spoken to second. And here, when we have the word children, we're speaking of those who are still being raised in their household. They have not grown up and gone to establish their own household yet. There's commands for those children as well. Honor your father and mother. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. So, parents, you have been given this text so you may understand how to raise your children. I'm not going to address you much. I'm going to predominantly focus on the kids. But think in those terms as we look at it. We'll address you predominantly next week. Children, know this. Your parents have been given to you by God to teach you about God and what it looks like to live for God, what it looks like to be responsible to live in this world for God. And what I also love, right away when we read this text, children, be obedient to your parents, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. What do we know right off the bat? You're given commands as though you can be a Christian. You're given commands that you can please God. That's amazing. That tells you that even at a young age, we know that you can understand the gospel. Even at a young age, you can turn from your sins and trust in Christ. You can live a life for God's glory. I'm sure your parents tell you that. Hey, we live for God's glory. Well, this verse tells you that you can. It tells you that you can. If you've repented of your sins this morning and you've trusted in Christ, if you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and he was raised again so you can be righteous, not by your own works, not by earning your way to God, but by trusting in Jesus, that he was perfect and that what he did in his sacrifice was on your behalf. If you believe that this morning, and then you obey your parents by faith, you will please God. This is a beautiful passage for children. It's exciting. Exciting for me to teach on. Now, children, show of hands. My kids probably won't put up their hand. We'll see. You may have memorized a passage in the Bible that's very similar to this. It's not probably Colossians. Most people don't memorize Colossians 3:20, but you memorize Ephesians 6:2. Who has memorized Ephesians 6:2? Put up your hands. I want to see it. Anybody? Anybody memorized Ephesians 6:2? Any of the kids? We've had adults too. Good. Any of the kids want to say it for us? Ephesians 6:2. If you've memorized it, just say it. I want to hear it. Anybody? Brave volunteer. It can be a teenager too. It doesn't have to be just a little one. Yes, I am looking at three girls in particular right now. Nobody wants to say Ephesians 2. That's okay. It's great as well. And it has a little bit more detail than what we look at this morning. But we're not going to try to preach Ephesians 6:2, pardon me, Ephesians 6:1, all the way through 4 and 3. We're going to try to stay out of that and just stay in our text. And so to start, we have the command to obedience, and I just want to break that down for you, kiddos. I just want to help us think through what obedience really is and what obedience really looks like. And your parents might have already done this for you, and if so, that's great, but we're going to break it into three parts. If you have the outline, you can see those three parts, and we're going to think about it in those terms. What are those three things? What is obedience? Obedience is... There it is. Preach it, brother. Obedience is right away. Obedience is all the way. And obedience is with a joyful heart. Sometimes when we break down a word like obey, which I think we all understand, but we break it down into little pieces, we can get a better grasp of whether we're really doing what God has asked for us. And so I want to illustrate each and every one of these things, kind of give you a story or an example that'll help us understand from the Bible that obedience is right away, that it's all the way, and that it is with a joyful heart. Have you ever, kids, have you ever been asked to do something and the immediate thought in your head was, well, I can do that later? Anybody? Yeah, good. I like to see those hands. That's awesome. Yeah, we think that all the time, right? Or sometimes we think, you know what? I have a really good reason why I shouldn't do that. Anyone ever had that? Anyone ever done that? Yeah. You know what? As adults, we think the same things. It's no different. When we are told to do something by our parents, when we're called to obey, we cannot start to come with reasons why we ought not to do it because we don't want to. And we don't start thinking about other things that we want to do first. We obey right away. Our heart must be willing right away. I love the example in Scripture from the Israelites as they're coming into the promised land. Do you guys remember that story? They've seen the plagues in Egypt. They've walked through the Red Sea, and now they're heading towards the promised land. Now, did God tell them to go take it? Yeah, but what happened when they got there? Yeah, they run away. They send spies to go look at the land, and the spies come back, and what do the spies say? They say, the cities are so big, the walls are so big, the people are so big, we're like grasshoppers to them. What are they afraid of? They're going to get squashed under their feet. They say, we can't do this. They're afraid to get stomped on. And so the people of Israel, when they hear the report of the spies, the Bible says this. It says, all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt or had died in the wilderness. What do they say? God brought us here just to die. How does God respond? You remember, don't you? What does God say? He's not happy. He says, I told you you could come in, and you've said you won't. And so instead of entering the promised land, this generation who doesn't trust me, they're going to wander around for 40 years in the wilderness until they die. And so you think, oh man, that really stinks. Well, what do the people of Israel think? They think that stinks too. But what do they completely misunderstand? They think that delayed obedience, or obedience that's not right away, is just as good as obedience that God called them to. And so what do? Let me read for you. Let me read for you what happens in Numbers 14 after they hear from God that they're going to wander for 40 years. It says, in the morning, however, they rose up early and went up to the ridge of the hill country saying, here we are. We have indeed sinned, but we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised. But Moses said, why are you transgressing the commandment of the Lord when it will not succeed? Do not go up, or you will be struck down before your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites will be there in front of you, and you will fall by the sword, inasmuch as you have turned back from following the Lord, and the Lord will not be with you. But they went up heedlessly to the ridge of the hill country. Neither the Ark of the Covenant nor Moses left the camp. And then the Amalekites and the Canaanites, their enemies, who they were supposed to conquer, the ones who lived in the hill country, came down and struck them and beat them down as far as Hormah. They thought, you know what? We can have obedience on our own time. We can have an unwilling heart, but then just obey when we want to. But that's not obedience at all, is it? No, that's not obedience. That's right away. Now, there's an important detail here that I think is really helpful, even for kiddos to think through. Because obedience being right away doesn't always mean that there might not be moments that require a little thinking for how to really obey properly. And you might even have to ask mom and dad for a little help with understanding what obedience looks like. Let me give you an example. If I tell my daughter Alethea, hey Alethea, it's time for school, get out of your pajamas, go get dressed. And so she heads off to her room, and she opens the door, and she starts rummaging through her drawers, and she finds the clothes, and the next thing you know, Kiriel, her baby sister, is crying. We have a problem. Why? Because Daddy's also told her not to wake up Kiriel and don't go in the room when Kiriel's sleeping, and they share rooms. And so I tell Alethea to go do it, and she thinks, obedience is right away. Well, I'm just going to go fly into that room and wake up Kiriel. Well, that's not really obedience now, is it? And she's good at that. She always goes, Dad, I think Kiriel might be sleeping. Can I wait? That's a great response. She acknowledged the heart is right. The heart wants to respond. It wants to obey. But sometimes there's a little wisdom needed in how that works itself out. So it actually loves and actually brings about the end to which we wanted to see. So if you can't right away respond by obeying, but your heart wants to, then what do? You just ask mom and dad, hey, how do I do this? I see a conflict and I need to know how to do this. I want to do it. I want to do it right now. That's an obedient heart. That's the heart that we're looking for, a heart of obedience that is all or right away. Obedience is right away. Second, obedience is all the way, okay? Obedience is all the way. Hands, who remembers Saul? Put up your hand way high if you remember who Saul is in the Bible. Good. Now, I need you to see your thumbs. Thumbs are either going to go up or they're going to go down, okay? You got to make the decision. Was Saul a good thing, good king? Thumbs up. Or a bad king? Thumbs down. Trev's confusing everyone by giving us a middle thumb. There were no options for middle thumb, Trev. It's up or down. Yeah, Saul was not a good king. Do you know why he wasn't a good king? Because Saul didn't understand that obedience is all the way, and he didn't trust God to do exactly what God told him to do. He had pride in his heart and thought he knew better than God. And so he could do what he wished, and God would still be obeyed. And that's actually exactly why he lost the kingdom. Do you remember what happened there? God gave a very specific command to Saul as the king to go out and to destroy the Amalekites. Did you ever do this one in Sunday school? You probably did. It's a fun one. And they were supposed to destroy everything. But what did Saul do? What did Saul do? Did he destroy everything? What did he keep? The king and what else? Animals. Why? Because animals are really nice to have. It'll be okay. I pretty much did what God said. That's what Saul's thought process was. But what happens? Saul loses the kingdom because he thought obedience wasn't all the way, and it is. Now, when I say obedience is all the way, in your heart do you go, that's really hard? I do. Obedience being all the way, I go, that's really, really hard. And we see a negative example in Paul, but we also see a positive example that I want to consider. And that positive example is Jesus. He shows perfectly what it looks like to obey all the way. So I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And listen for this to see what all the way is in the life of Jesus. Philippians 2:5 says this: "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." That's obedience all the way, isn't it? We look and we go, man, it's really hard to obey. But our obedience all the way is never as hard as Jesus's was. And so we can look to him when we're struggling for help, can't we? And we can remember his perfect obedience and be thankful for that. Lastly, obedience is with a joyful heart. Obedience is with a joyful heart. What happens on the outside? Very important. What happens on the inside? Equally important. Do you remember once again Israel? Again, give me your thumbs. Thumbs up or thumbs down? If you think about Israel and how they did in history with obeying God, is it thumbs up or is it thumbs down? Show me those thumbs. Yeah, I see a lot of thumbs down. Do you know what's interesting? In the end of Deuteronomy chapter 28, God says this. Listen carefully to what God says about obedience. It says, "So all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you're destroyed because you wouldn't obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you." So we go, oh, they didn't obey. Well, how did they not obey? Verse 47, it says, "Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart." You didn't serve God. You were doing all sorts of stuff, but you didn't have joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst, in nakedness, and in a lack of all things. And he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. Wow. God says they didn't obey. Why? Because their heart wasn't joyful in serving him. Jesus says something very similar to the religious leaders, to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. He uses a word to describe them. He says, "You're hypocrites." Do you remember what hypocrites are? It's where you have a mask on and you're hiding behind something. Now, kids, do you like masks? Do you like masks? Who likes playing dress up? Yeah, and we like masks, right? Because when we put on a mask, we get to be someone else. You get to pretend for a moment that you're someone who you're not, and that can be very, very fun. But before God, we don't put on masks. We don't show and act on the outside like we're being obedient, but on the inside, we grumble. We just pretend. Kids, what that often looks like is if your parents ask you to do something, you drag your feet on the way there, or you stomp. Or you roll your eyes when mom and dad tell you what to do, but then you go do it anyways. Or you have a frown on your face. Or sometimes it's just completely inside, and in your head and in your own heart, you say, "This is dumb. This is unfair." That's not obeying with a joyful heart, isn't it? That's being a hypocrite and wearing a mask that doesn't match what's happening on the inside. So you always must remember If your heart isn't joyful, you're not obeying. You're never obeying if your heart isn't joyful. Kids, I hope these three terms help you remember what obedience is, help you understand what obedience is and what it's not, so that when your parents tell you to do something, you can either say, yeah, I obeyed, or you know what? I didn't obey. But here's the question. In what ought you to obey your parents? In other words, when do you have to obey them? Do you have to obey them if they tell you to do chores? Do you have to obey them when they tell you what movies you can watch? Look back at verse 20 in Colossians. Look at what it says. It says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things. In all things. And that means in every way, in every respect. There's no area of your life that you don't have to obey them in. Now, I think Paul doesn't put an exception here because it's obvious. As a Christian, you never obey when someone tells you to sin. That's not what we're talking about here. But we're talking about when they instruct you to do anything else. That is when you must obey. God has actually given you parents and given you this command to help you understand authority, to help you know how to respond to it. And so when parents don't exercise this rightly, you misshape your child's understanding of what authority is and how they ought to operate in this world. That's why really when we get here and we see that disobedience of children is an end times issue or is an issue of cultural decay, it's because parenting has already come undone. And so parents, take this very seriously. This is a massive responsibility, and it is one that you will do imperfectly, but it is one that you can strive towards in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll look at that more next week. Children, as I said, your parents will do this imperfectly, and you already know. You already know that your parents are imperfect. Jude, Aletheia, Zay, is daddy a sinner? All nods, in case you didn't see their little heads move. All nods. But here's the beauty of it, kids. You don't obey your parents because they're perfect. You obey your parents because you're obeying your Heavenly Father and He's perfect. You can look right past your parents and go, I'm going to obey because my Father in heaven is perfect and I love Him. And that's what we get to here in this last part of the text that we're going to look at, which is really the reason. The reason why you can, must, and will enjoy obeying when you understand what the Bible says. Look at what it says in the end of verse 20. It says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Kids, if you don't have Colossians 3:20 memorized, this is the reason why you memorize Colossians 3:20. Because this reason, it can give you so much encouragement. This is a verse that you can go to when you feel in your heart, I just am really struggling to want to obey. You get to go here and you get to be reminded why God gives you this command, not so that it's a burden on you. But why? Because something really amazing happens when you obey your parents as a Christian. You please God. And so kids, I just want to think with you for a moment, because I know, just like I do, you struggle to obey. What do we do when we struggle? What thoughts need to go through our head when we're struggling in our hearts to obey? First and foremost, you need to remember Jesus and the gospel. Remember Jesus and the gospel, because when you remember that, it takes your eyes off of you, and where does it put them? Right on God. It puts them on His kindness and His love and His grace to you through sending Jesus, His Son. When you're struggling to obey, you need to remember God's grace to you. When we struggle to obey, it's often because we believe that there's something better for us elsewhere, or that mom and dad aren't really loving us. They're doing it because they don't love us, or it's just not fair, and that's why we don't want to obey. And what happens in our hearts? We start grumbling and we start complaining. Do any of you struggle with grumbling and complaining ever? Yeah. And when you realize that that's happening in your heart and you're grumbling and complaining, what do? You confess that to God. You say, God, I'm sinning. I'm sinning right now. I know it's supposed to be joyful, but it's not. I don't want to do it, and I know I'm supposed to. So you confess it to God, and then you say, God, this is sin. I'm going to look to you instead of myself and instead of my strength and instead of my sin. And I'm going to remember what's true. Remember what you've learned in the Bible, what's true. Take those verses that you have hidden in your head and bring them into your heart. Remember who God is. Remember what Christ has done. Remember God's promises. If you don't know Romans 8:28, it's such a good one to remember when you're struggling with obedience, that all things work together for the good of those who love God. That means when your parents are asking you to do something, it's going to work together for your good if you obey, because you know God's will. You know exactly what you're supposed to do, and you don't have to trust anyone but God in that moment. And enjoy that. Remember that God loves you. He was willing to die for your sins. Kiddos, I'm a big sinner, and you're a big sinner too. Remember that Christ Jesus loves you to the point of dying on a cross, and he was obedient all the way. Never forget that. And then trust God. And obey your parents. Obey your parents because it pleases Jesus. Don't obey your parents because other things. There are so many things that we could insert there, right? You could say, I obey my parents because I am scared that God's angry with me. And so I'm going to obey my parents. I obey my parents because I'm afraid of hell. I obey my parents because I want to make God happy so I can get into heaven. I obey my parents because I want to be a good kid. I want people to think I'm really good. And so if I obey my parents, they're going to look at me and think, wow, I'm pretty special. Look at me. The reason why we obey our parents is because God is worthy of our obedience. And so you look at him and you go, I've seen your gracious kindness to me, Heavenly Father. I know that I was doomed to hell. I know that I could do nothing else and I couldn't save myself, but you sent your son in my place. And I love you. That's what we obey from. We obey from a heart of love. We obey our parents because we think that pleasing God is the best thing out there. There's nothing better than pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. We love him more than we love our sin. But this morning, if you sit here and you go, I never want to obey my parents, and it's certainly not the few moments that I do because I love God, it's all those other things that you said. Well then, kid, this morning, you need to repent and believe in Christ, because none of this happens until you've trusted in Christ first. None of this happens until you've confessed your sins to him. None of this happens until you've received the free gift of God, salvation, by trusting in him and nothing else. You cannot obey your parents and you cannot please God until you first trusted in God by faith and come to know him through turning from sin and believing in all that his son is done, all that his son has done for you. Kids, there's one other thing that I want to think through as we think through this last part, that this is pleasing to God. Why is it pleasing to God? Why is obeying your parents pleasing to God? One, well, because he told you to do it, for sure. But there's another reason to that, and I love reasons. I don't know about you, but I love getting reasons. They make it so much more helpful to me to know exactly why I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. Well, who's God's son? Who's God's son? Jesus. And did he perfectly obey his heavenly Father? He did. And when you trust in him and you obey your parents, who do you look like? You look like Jesus. And do you think that then pleases God? I think so. I think that's exactly why this is here, because you show that Jesus is your Lord when you obey your parents. And everybody gets to see that, because only kids who trust in Christ can truly obey their parents all the way, right away, and with a joyful heart. And so then Jesus gets all the glory when you obey your parents. King Jesus is well pleased, and that's beautiful. I hope you see that this morning. The sad reality is that you may have parents that aren't pleased and cannot be pleased. That may be true of you this morning. And so don't worry about pleasing them. Worry about pleasing your King. Even when your parents are having their worst days, you can always be pleasing to Jesus. Parents, if our Lord is pleased by our children's obedience, how much more should we be who are imperfect and deserve absolutely no obedience unto us? Brothers and sisters, we need to delight in God's grace in their life. We need to make this our priority. Notice, it doesn't say anywhere in Scripture that God is pleased by your children's accomplishments, by their grades, by the outcome of their sporting events. If we show more pleasure in those things than our children's obedience to the Lord, we will communicate something for them and be very instructive to them. If you, as a parent, miss church on a Sunday for hockey, I don't think there is anyone in the room who does this, so I'm hopefully picking on a non-existent target that can be easily applied over. If you take your kid to a hockey tournament and they never see you more excited than when you're on the bench and they score a goal, and then afterwards, when you win that tournament and get the trophy, that's what consumes your conversation. And you play it back over and over. And you talk with your kid for the next 2 weeks about how amazing that was. And it was at the expense of your desire for them to be in this body, in this church, rejoicing at their participation in the things of God. Don't be surprised when they don't think much of forgiveness. Don't be surprised when they don't think much of God's holiness and his worthiness, because you've led them down that road. Parents, we must show pleasure. We must be easy to please in our kids' obedience to God. It's not that you don't also rejoice in God's grace in other areas. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Most certainly, we love it when we see God's grace at work in our children's lives, even at academics. But oh, make it easy to please them rather than an expectation that they ought to obey you. Rejoice when they do and make much of God's grace in their life. Don't provide them with a confusing model of what is most important. Communicate clearly to them, what brings you the most joy, and that must be what brings God the most joy. One commentator said this: children easily feel they cannot please their fathers and quickly give up trying, choosing rather to silently but bitterly conform to expectations, counting the days or years until they can be free from his tyranny or able to openly rebel. Let that not be said of us, parents. Let that not be said of us. Instead, let's encourage our kids and delight when we see obedience that's all the way, right away, and with a joyful heart, and note it over and over and over again. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you are our perfect Heavenly Father. We do thank you that we can look to you at all times and understand, Lord, what it looks like to be a perfect child, what it looks like to be a perfect parent, and to know that we will fall short of these things, and yet we never, ever need to come to you with our righteousness, but we come to you fully clothed in the righteousness of your Son. We praise you for that, Lord. We praise you that on our worst day and our best day, as a parent or a child, our righteousness is not dependent on who we are or what we have done, but it is dependent on the grace that we have known, on the life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to see his worth, to be reminded of all that you have done for us through him, and to live in such a way, Lord, that we would love pleasing him more than anything else, more than our own pleasure, more than the pleasures of this world. Father, that we would turn from those things and love Jesus Christ, that we would walk by faith and confess and repent quickly when we don't, so that you'd receive glory and praise in our children's lives and in the parents' lives in this church. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.